Turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, important subject in the book of Proverbs. This morning we'd like to spend some time thinking about this. Verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is interesting in the Bible that the story is told in Genesis chapter 20 of how Abraham, during a time of drought, that he went to the territory of Abimelech, the king of Gerar. And as they went to that place, Abraham said to his wife, "Surely the fear of the Lord is not in this place." In other words, he was afraid for his life. He was afraid of what might happen to him. And he was thinking that perhaps the people of this land will kill me so that they could have you, Sarah, as for wife. And so he told her to lie about her identity. Actually, it was a half-truth. Tell them you're my sister, which was not a total lie, but she was certainly more than a half-sister. She was his wife. But he felt if he told the truth, that the people would kill him so they could have Sarah for their own wife. And he made the summary statement, "Surely the fear of the Lord is not in this place." And you know, this statement could be said, I'm sure, about many different places in the world. That you wouldn't dare go there because the fear of the Lord isn't there. Now, what a wonderful thing for the fear of the Lord. You know, because of our wonderful heritage in our country, people stop at stop signs. But you know, there's other places in the world that a stop sign means nothing. And certainly there are places in the world where you could go and it would be nothing for them to shoot you. In fact, one of our missionaries told about how in front of his house there was a man that was killed, not because they wanted his money, but because they wanted his cell phone. And there was no hesitation for them to kill this man. We could say there's places in the world where there's little fear of the Lord. Probably you could say it would seem like there's some churches where you could go and there wouldn't be much fear of the Lord. Certainly you could say that there are some people you know, and they don't have much fear of the Lord. And perhaps you could say about one of your acquaintances, maybe even another young person, you'd have to say, you know, they don't have much fear of the Lord. If they could, they'd do almost anything. What is the fear of the Lord? You know, you can take two persons, and one person would not even think of doing certain things. No one around them, no authority around them, no one to catch them. Think of Joseph in the Bible. He was in Egypt. His dad thought he was dead. His brothers weren't sure what had happened to him. The Egyptians were heathen to the max. No one would know whatever he did. And yet Potiphar's wife approached him. And he said, no. No. What was it that he had? He had the fear of the Lord. It was something inside him. It wasn't related to people. It wasn't related to government and punishment for crime. It wasn't related to even public reputation. It was something inside of him. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What is the fear of the Lord? It is a consciousness of God. It is the effect of God on a person so that they fear or shudder to do wrong and are humble before God. You know, some practical thoughts about the fear of the Lord. These are just some practical things. The person who has the fear of the Lord, it's easier to do right. The fear of the Lord keeps a person from allowing the sinful nature from taking over. The fear of the Lord is that thing that keeps a person from throwing away their life by getting into sin. The fear of the Lord is that ability to listen and to value learning. The fear of the Lord keeps a person from sin. The fear of the Lord helps a person find the blessing of God. We could say all of those things about one subtle reality that is the beginning of knowledge. That is the fear of the Lord. As we think about this today, the fear of the Lord, I want us to think about the necessity of the fear of the Lord. You know, we are Westerners in our thinking. And Westerners happen to be kind of take the intellectual approach to learning. Westerners take approach we would almost call it the approach of addition. I know this, I know this, I know this. That makes me wise. But not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, there is an inward quality that is essential before we can even understand the Bible. There is an inward reality that is essential for us to gain even the first bit of knowledge. It is the fear of the Lord. From this great truth, we'll have to say that the fear of the Lord is the basic principle of life and learning. The basic principle of life and learning. Without it, man is hopelessly lost. Without it, man can never gain spiritual insight into life. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Isn't that amazing? We kind of have it switched around. And I know there is a relationship, but the Bible is telling us that the beginning of knowledge, the foundation of knowledge, the first issues of knowledge is to have the fear of the Lord. But it's interesting that we find that the fear of the Lord is not always valued as the Bible values it. Notice the rejection of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Notice that the Bible tells us that there is a class of people that don't consider the fear of the Lord to be valuable. It isn't essential in their mind. It's not essential to life. It's not essential to understanding. It is not essential to prosperity. It is unimportant. Now that basically that is the value system of the world. the value system of the world. Now, can you imagine I'm getting out of touch because I don't watch these fellows. Can you imagine Mr. Stephanopoulos, ABC News? Stephanopoulos, there we go. Can you imagine him having the fear of the Lord? Or do you imagine him as one who, like the typical newscaster, mocks the standards of the Bible and the truths of the Bible and the morality of the Bible? Can you imagine the typical professor in the humanities department at one of our universities with the fear of the Lord? No. You see, our society has come to a point where most of society does not value what God considers and tells us is the most important ingredient of life: the fear of the Lord. And you might be a young person here today, and you would have to say that in your quest of life, that is one of the last things on your list, as the riches of life. Now, as we think about the fear of the Lord, we have to ask the question, how does one gain the fear of the Lord? Now, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, it tells us a very sobering fact. As it describes the sinful nature of man, as it describes how we are born, notice what it says in Romans 3:18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The sad thing is to say that the human nature has been twisted by sin. You know, you can still think about this little baby in the high chair. This baby in the high chair totally depended upon their parents to have a warm bed at night, to be kept out of the rain, to have food. You see, they can't go to the store and buy food. They can't drive. They can't even ride a bike. They didn't even know how to take care of their body, have to have their diapers changed. And here is this little baby, and has this big giant mama or daddy, totally dwarfed by this parent, And this baby who is totally dependent upon the parent, and the parent says no. And this little baby slaps their hand. As to say, don't tell me what to do. You know what it's called? It's called the sinful nature, but it's also called there is no fear of God in their eyes. We are born without the fear of God. We are born as sinners. And that sinful state is easily illustrated by the attitudes and the actions of a little child. And needless to say, not too long ago, a young man came to me and he said, you know, now that my wife and I have children, I've learned a lot more about myself than I ever knew. And I never really understood my own sinful nature until I saw it in my own children. We're not born with the fear of the Lord. How do we get it? How do we get it? I think there's a number of things that we could say today of how we get the fear of the Lord. The first thing that we will say is that we do not get the fear of the Lord without great effort. We do not get the fear of the Lord without great spiritual effort. It's not something that we're going to get by having something, you know, a baseball bat come out of heaven and just hit us on the head. We are not necessarily going to get it by just coming to church. Certainly, there is a realm of truth in that. They will say that religious people, even though they go to church that does not teach the Bible, religious people have, in comparison to society, are much more prone to act properly in life than those who do not go to church. But the Bible talks about the effort of that it takes to get the fear of the Lord. Turn to chapter 2 of Proverbs. In verse number 5. Now notice in verse 1 there's an if. That's the condition. Verse number 5 is the then. That's the result. And so the Bible tells us now here is the means whereby the result of the fear of the Lord can come into your life. And he describes the great spiritual effort that is required to gain the fear of the Lord. It says, if thou wilt receive my words. Now that's not that's just not an intellectual statement. That's a spiritual statement. Every young person knows exactly what that means. You can go in a class and you can hear and leave the class and remember nothing. What's the difference? You can have your parent tell you something. And they can tell you what you should do, or they will tell you something about life. But as you are hearing them, you are making a decision whether to receive what they say or not. You may say, well, there goes Dad again, just talking off the top of his head. You may go to a class and you may just sit there and, okay. There was no effort to receive the truth. That's probably the problem with Sunday school, right? We talked about this morning, Sunday school. And you know what? That's many times the problem with church. The problem with church, the problem with Sunday school, is the fact that most of the time we come without any real necessity to receive what is said. And we many times come to church with the dare syndrome. You know, I dare the pastor to preach a message that will get to me. If thou will receive my words. There's a spiritual decision. It says, if you will hide my commandments with thee. This says, there must be this spiritual intensity to gain truth that it would be exemplified by saying, you know, I need to get this so badly, I'm going to memorize these verses. I'm going to memorize these verses. Now, again, this is saying, well, how do you get the fear of the Lord? It's describing the spiritual energy that is required to get the fear of the Lord. It's the spiritual energy, the spiritual reality that says, boy, I'm coming here to get everything I can out of the Bible. It's that accompanied by this energy that says, you know, I need this so badly, I'm going to memorize God's Word so that it will get into my soul. He says, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear. There's a purposeful quickening of the ear. A purposeful sharpening of the ear's receptivity to every word. You know what I mean? If you would go down to a restaurant and you would start talking about a sure investment that you could make 8 or 9 or 10 or 15% on your money, in these days in which a person gets 0.25%, point a fourth of a percentage of interest at the bank, you know, you say, hey, here, I want to show you the sure investment. Boy, I tell you what, ears will perk up, won't they? That's what it's talking about. The perking up of the ears for spiritual truth. Hey, if thou apply thine heart to understanding, I got to get this. If thou criest after knowledge, this is the desperate prayer to God. If thou seekest her as silver, Well, you know, I heard about a fellow that went to North Dakota. A bunch of fellows. Didn't have a dime in their pocket, or they took the last dollar that they had and they went to North Dakota to the oil fields. Some traveled across the country. Some sold everything they had to get there. To get a job. You know, in the gold rush of the 1848, Oakland Bay was full of abandoned ships. People from the east and from had sailed, put all their money together, bought a ship, sailed to California, got into the bay, and headed for the hills. And the bay was full of ships that had been abandoned, that they had to start a fire and burn them all, so that maritime traffic could continue on the bay. Why? You know what? People were willing to do everything they could imagine to get maybe some gold. You know, so when we say it takes tremendous spiritual effort to get the fear of the Lord, it's exactly what the Bible says. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come by magic. It doesn't come by, you know, getting high on religion. It doesn't come by going to a service. It doesn't come by, you know, getting yourself all emotionally worked up. The Bible says that it takes great spiritual effort. How does one get the fear of the Lord? Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy. Now, this is a great truth of the Bible. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah 6. And the knowledge of the holiness of God caused him to say, woe is me. If we can put it simply, it's to get into the presence of a holy God. Now think about that in a number of different ways. That means this. The more we experience the dirt of sin, the less and the harder it will be for us to gain the fear of the Lord. The more that we experience of this world, The more that we allow sin in our lives, the more that we pursue the things of this world, we will be missing the greatest asset of life, the fear of the Lord. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know, you can almost see the picture. The more young people experience sin, the less they have of the fear of God. The more a young person is genuinely apart from sin and the world and the things of the world, and they get to know the God of the Bible, the more fear of God that they have. You're talking about an elusive element of life. But essential. How is it that some person can just walk into sin and no problem? And another person, oh, no, no, no. It's the fear of the Lord. In the Bible, we have the statement in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied. You know, today lies aren't very important. Lies aren't very significant. People lie all the time. I never thought about it until Grant Rice said to me, he says, people lie about spiritual things more than they lie about anything else in life. And he said, people lie to preachers more than any other person in life. Never thought about it that way. But it's true. I've heard about people trying to start a church in the South, and they go to a town and they're going to start a church, and everybody says, oh, I'll be there. Well, nobody shows up. But they all said, I'll be there. You know, they're all Baptist or whatever. Oh, I'll be there. But you know, Ananias and Sapphira lied. You know, it wasn't a real big lie. You know, it was kind of a in-between lie. You know, they sold some property and they gave the money to the Lord. They wanted everybody to think that they had really given a lot to the Lord. And so they said, you know, we sold this property for such and such and we gave it all to the Lord. And yet the truth was they didn't really sell it for such and such. They sold it for more than that. But they wanted everybody to think that they were really spiritual. And so it wasn't a real big lie, but it was a lie. And so Peter came to them and said, you know, Ananias, did you sell that land for what you said? He says, yeah. And of course he dropped over dead. And he went to Sapphira. Now Sapphira didn't know that her husband had dropped over dead. And so she kept the secret. You know, keeping the secret sometimes between friends can be really spiritually damaging. And so he said to Sapphira, did you sell property for such a... Yep, boy, she dropped over dead. And the Bible says, the word about this spread And verse 11 of chapter 5, it says, "And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things." You know, in the Bible, people who saw the judgment of God, it helped them get the fear of the Lord. It helped them get the fear of the Lord. Now, I guess none of us really want to experience the judgment of God, nor to see the judgment of God in that way. But we get the fear of the Lord by reading the Bible. You know, I have heard of, in the past, I have heard about, from students at Bob Jones, former students at Bob Jones, I've heard about some of them who've had some godly Presbyterian teachers. Now, I'm not a Presbyterian and I don't agree with their theology. But these professors who held the Old Testament in high regard seemed to be able to transfer to their students a sense of the fear of the Lord. That was much greater than those who do not have that same high regard. Because certainly in the Old Testament, we see God judging sin. The judgment, experiencing the judgment of God, whether in person or by reading the Word of God, will help a person to gain the fear of the Lord. If you don't have much fear of the Lord, it might well be that you haven't read the Old Testament for a long time. And it may very well need be that you need to get to the Old Testament and read it and study it and meditate on it and think about it and think about the God of heaven as revealed in the Bible. How do you get the fear of the Lord? I think we get the fear of the Lord by getting saved. Because when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live with them. And if we're saved and we've lost the fear of the Lord, it's because we have lost that daily, moment by moment, consciousness of the Holy Spirit. And we have ignored denied the Spirit of God to convict us about sin. And perhaps we need to get back to being tender and aware of the Holy Spirit. And pretty soon the Holy Spirit and that right relationship to Him will cause us to be highly aware of the presence of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, As you think about that, we say, boy, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, would we have to say to ourselves, whoa, then how much knowledge do I really have? How much wisdom do I really have? Perhaps we're deceiving ourselves. In the most important area of life, our spiritual life. And perhaps we need to think about this great truth. We ought to ask ourselves and evaluate, where's the fear of the Lord? Where's the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning. And if we don't have the most elemental thing, then we are not what we think that we are. And we ought to humble ourselves and seek the Lord. Go to His Word. Confess our sins. Cry out to God for Him to do a work in our life of the very most basic, elemental principle of our spiritual life, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is the knowledge of the holy. Let's pray. Father, as we think of Your Word today, and we think of this most essential attitude, this most essential reality that speaks more than a multitude of other things of the reality of a relationship with the God of heaven. And Lord, as we think of that, we think of our sins, the sins of our words, the sins of our actions, the sins of life that are because of a lack of the fear of the Lord. As we face this new year, Lord, first things need to be first. And the foundation of our life needs to be the fear of the Lord. May it be so, Lord. May You work in our hearts and our lives even this day. As our heads are bowed and eyes closed, perhaps in a very real way, the Spirit of God has dealt with you today. And you can honestly say that the Spirit of God has made it clear to you that this is a great need of your life, something that is greatly missing, the fear of the Lord. And even before the Lord today, you humbly come to Him and say, God, that is true. There is something vitally missing in my life. This vital, this basic, this essential truth. And the Lord has spoken to your heart. He has spoken to you about the spiritual energy you need in your life, in towards spiritual things. Spoken to you about your need to have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit in obedience. You need to be in the Bible, letting the Spirit of God show you a holy God. Perhaps it's confessing and turning from sins that you know that you enjoy, and yet you know they have taken away the fear of the Lord. The Lord has spoken to your heart today. And say, there's a definite decision that God is dealing with me about today, about the reality, about the existence of the fear of the Lord in my life. And make this a time of genuinely meeting the Lord. And you say, by uplifted hand, God, the pastor, the Lord has spoken in my heart. There's a definite decision I'm making today. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Others? Lord is speaking to your heart. How about it, young person? Is the fear of the Lord there? Or is it missing? God is speaking to your heart today. Anyone else? Okay? Amen? All right? Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for your people, for their desire to meet with you, to have you work in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for just the reality that there is enough of the fear of the Lord in their life, that you're able to speak to their hearts and lead them in the path. Might you be glorified, Lord. May, Lord, may there be a definite turning to Thee in our lives, from sin to You, with a hunger that You would work in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.